St. John's Gospel 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That's the Spirit that quickeneth. Liven. Quicken means to liven up. Quickens. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth. How much profit's in the flesh? Nothing. In the spiritual walk, the flesh don't profit anything. Fact of the matter is, it's kind of a drag, isn't it, sometimes, most of the time. The Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now there's, so we have to stick with whatever the word says, don't we? Now Jesus said that. The word. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew, then to the Greek, and whosoever believeth. Now Paul said he wasn't ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. How many is ashamed of the gospel of Christ? No. We're glad for the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Greek. And he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them. Another scripture, I forget this word that says, he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So the word is the healing element there. The word. There's nothing that you can get in you that's more profitable than the word of God. It's a spirit that quickens. It quickens what? It quickens the word. And so it brings a life into everything. And the spirit quickens, but it's the word that does the job. Jesus said he was the word. He said, I'm the way. John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now there's times, and we're going to take the Apostle Paul here, for example, here tonight, in one of the scriptures that we're going to read. But there's always a time, you know, I don't care how high you get. I don't care how high you jump, how much spirit you've got on you, or how much spirit you've got in you, or how much word you've got in you. God lets us go through a time when we feel a low feeling. A low. How many's always been on a high? I don't see any hands go up on that one. You've went through the low spots, the high spots and the low spots. When you see all these things that's coming upon the world that we're hearing every day on the television, the Bible didn't say look down. It said look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So when everything looks bleak and everything looks dreary and everything looks wrong and you feel so low and all these kind of things, there is something that God's getting ready to do that will just bless the socks off of you. It works that way every time. Take it from somebody that's been in it for 55 years. I've been in the ministry for 55 years. We'll be in June. And I've had low feelings. I've had high feelings. I've had where it just seemed like everything's floating real good. But then these things change from time to time. Now, things change. How many knows that? Situations change. Churches change. People change. Everything changes. But Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just keep this in mind that though things are changing round about you, situations are changing round about you, different things are changing round about you, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Word made flesh that dwelled among us. And He is the same. You can get up in the morning, you can count on He's the same. You can get up 6 months from now, He's the same. No matter what happens in between, He's the same. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. He never changes. He's still the Word made flesh. He dwelt among us. He has all power in heaven and earth. Huh? Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm encouraged when I think about Him. Now, the Apostle Paul had a situation here. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. You would never think about the Apostle Paul going through a great trial, but his whole ministry dealt with trials. Every place that you go in there, he had a big upheaval. God spoke to him and said, go to Jerusalem. And then he said in one place, he said, everywhere I go, the Spirit speaks, or so there's a prophecy given, that bonds await me to go to Jerusalem. But he said, none of these things move me. If God told me to go to Jerusalem I go. So none of those things bothered him. But now here we find a thing here in
the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and verse 7. And he said, "Lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." Now he said, "Lest I be exalted above measure through these abundance of revelation." God was giving him abundance of revelation. And just seemed like this glorious abundance of revelation. But he said, "Lest I be exalted that," he said, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." How many knows that a thorn in the flesh ain't too pleasant? "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, Paul said this. The messenger of Satan, here's what he is. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Lest I get exalted above measure. "There was sent to me a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, to buffet me so I won't get too exalted." So, I guess then we're not any better than Paul. Or we might get too exalted, and once in a while God gives us a little thorn in the flesh. He sends us a messenger of Satan to buffet us, to kind of keep us down there a little bit, so we know that he's still God, and that he's the one that's given the message. He's the Word made flesh, that he has all power in heaven and earth. And so he said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He said, three times I sought God to get rid of this. I wanted it to depart from me. And he said unto me, the Lord said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me." Look what Paul said here. Verse 10, he said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I was weak, then I am strong." So the theme of this message tonight would be, when I'm weak, I'm strong. When you're weak, you're strong. You may not think you're strong, you may not feel like you're strong, but when you're weak, Paul said, when I'm weak, he said, I'm strong. He said, "There was given this messenger of Satan to me, a thorn in the flesh." He said, "I prayed three times to get rid of it." But he said, God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So when we feel weak, that may be the strongest part in your life. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm weak, you know, you go around saying that. When I'm weak, I'm strong. You know, it looked like that Israel was defeated with the giant. But there was a teenage boy by the name of David that decided, though he looked weak, and though the odds was against him, that he would take this giant on. And Saul said, "Well, you take my armor." He said, "I've not proved your armor. I'm just going to take what I proved." And you know what it was that he had proved and he went out against the giant with? You talk about something weak that looked weak but was strong. He took a sling and he gathered five stones. I believe always represented the fivefold ministry in the New Testament, because it was one of those stones, a good rounded stone that slayed the giant. Goliath looked at him. In other words, he said, "I'll tear you apart. I'll do all these, this and that and something else." But David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he took the sling and one of those smooth stones that he picked up in the brook, and he took that and he slayed the giant. When he was weak, when Israel looked weak, when Israel was weak, God was strong. But he was strong in a boy about 15 or 16 years old. And God can do this in anybody. He can be strong in you. Sometimes in a church, I've seen this happen so many times, when somebody, so it looks like some of the elders got weak, God has sprang up with some new convert that's strong, strong in the Lord, and used them to do something that would defray the acts of the devil against what the devil purposed to do, and stopped it. Dead cold. When we're weak, we're strong. Don't ever confess how bad you are and how bad it looked. Let's confess, if I'm weak, he's strong. Huh? I confess weakness sometimes, but he's strong. Ephesians 3 and 20, "He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." It's that power which is the Word of God. The power of God, Paul said in Romans 1:16, it's the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is. So if that power works in us, when we're weak, He becomes strong. So don't think about the trials that you go through, the tests that you go through. Because when you're weak, He's strong. So let's go over here to James here just a minute. Let's just take the James chapter 1, verse 2, and read down there just a little bit. James said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations." That's hard to do, ain't it? How many, when you're tempted and tried and everything, you don't just ha 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 and laugh it through, do you? But you count it. How many knows it makes a whole lot of difference how we count things? So it's not joy, but he said, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations." Count it that. Why would we count it joy when we don't feel the joy? Because we know that God's going to work it out. And that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a power that works in us. And that's why James said, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. Because you know this, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it's the trying of your faith. And it has a work in you. How many knows God wants His faith to work in us? Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Now, everybody can say this. Sometimes you just feel like God is so far away. Where's He at today? I haven't felt Him all night. Are you going to go by feelings or are you going to go by faith? You got to go by faith. The trying of your faith, it works something in you that will really help you. The trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Oh, well now, let's look at patience here just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 said, "According as His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." And beside this, listen to it. Now look at this. "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith" what? "Virtue." And to virtue" what? "Knowledge."
"And to knowledge, temperance." "And to temperance, patience."
So we've got to have patience in there. "And to patience, godliness." "And to godliness, brotherly kindness." "And to brotherly kindness, charity." "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So the trying of your faith works that patience in you. "They that wait upon the Lord," that's patience, ain't it, "shall renew their strength." One young preacher came to me one time and he said, "I feel like I've got a call to step out as an apostle." You know, I just looked at him flat and I said, "You're a long ways from an apostle. You got an awful lot of patience to await you." See, sometimes we might have a calling, but we got to have that patience, have that work in us. So James said, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting what? Wanting nothing. That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? That's getting down the road. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given thee. But let him ask in" what? Here he goes right back to that faith. The trying of your what? Of your faith worketh what? Now he comes down here and drops into the sixth verse, and he said, "But let him ask in faith." You know, he says, if we lack wisdom, we ask God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Then he comes down here in verse 6, he goes right back to that faith again. "But let him ask in faith." In faith. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Somebody said, well, it don't feel like it. That ain't what he said. He said nothing wavering. No fear. Fear has what? So what works, what is? "But perfect love casteth out fear." That's a big thing. Now here he said, let him ask in faith. "Count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh faith. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In what? Ask in what? In faith, Mr. Buckner said. And that's right. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavereth. No wavereth. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So that cancels out anything that he might receive if he wavers, not asking faith. So that cancels out what God might give him. Let not that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. One day he's one way, the next day he's some other way. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and talk about the natural abilities to serve God. That's not the way you do it. So let's read here what it said here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God, how has God revealed things to us? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What does the Spirit do? It quickeneth. The Spirit that quickeneth, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. Now God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Man has not seen the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, that's a good thing there. How many ever got that one? The Spirit searches all the deep things of God. Keep full of the Spirit of God. It searches out things. It finds it for you. It finds the Word for you. It finds the faith for you. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Now, the things of man we know from the Spirit of man. But, here, let's hear a little further. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So, the things of the Spirit of God no man knows except by the Spirit of God. That's important that we stay spiritual-minded. To be spiritual-minded is life and its peace. I mean, what's that? Verse 12. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world. God didn't give us no Spirit of the world. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know. While we're still talking about this, does that make any difference how you feel? It don't make a bit of difference how you feel. You may feel terrible. God didn't change a bit. Your experience didn't change a bit until you've done something to make it change. So what do? You just flow right on through. God has directed us by his word, and that's called patience. You're having patience waiting on what? They that wait upon who? The Lord shall what? Renew whose strength? Their strength. They shall mount up what? With wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We don't need to be weary. All we got to do is believe. How many hundreds of times probably I've had a chance to go through these things? Hundreds of times, I imagine. I remember plenty of them. For what man knoweth the things of man, let's go back to verse 11, save the Spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. God only gives his Spirit out. That we might know the things that are freely given us of God. That we might know the things that God's really given. So how God gives us the Spirit, and the Spirit quickens the Word digs it out, and so that we've got that all explained, and that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God freely give them to us. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, not in man's wisdom. See, we got to get where we let God use his wisdom on the inside of us instead of man's wisdom. You know, we walk up to somebody and say, what do you think? What difference does it make what he thinks? It's what does God think? We always go to God for the answer, for the solution, and all these things. Verse 14, let's see what it says here. But the natural man Now the natural man, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So if we think that we can hang in there in the natural mind, we got another thought coming. We're going to have God's mind. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So it's all shown to us through the Spirit. God reveals his word to us through the Spirit. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. That's life and the Spirit. So God tells us all the things that he's given us. How? Through the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. They're given to us from God through the Spirit. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind. If we let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, we have the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of the world. We don't want to be double-minded. We want to have the mind of Christ. It's always explaining things to us. It's always telling us. Let's go to the book of Ephesians here just a minute. Chapter 6, and he's talking to us here about the armor of God. And let's go to verse 12. Paul really lays this out here in this one here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where your wrestle is. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Then verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. How many believe we're in an evil day? We are in it. You know, we've preached about it. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's here. It's here. It's evil day. And he said, the armor of God, we've got to have it on. You may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand, stand, stand. All right? Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. No, he's arming us with the armor of God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. That's the word. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All these instruments here that he's talking about are created by the word. And have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Is the Word of God. It's all either created by the Word of God or it is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I wonder if we do that today. Are we looking out for somebody else's problem? Are we praying for all the saints? Or are we just praying for ourselves? Now here's a prayer here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. And watching thereunto with all supplication for all saints. Do you start praying for everybody else, or do you pray just for you and say, thank you for the Lord? That's a carnal thought, isn't it? I thought we're supposed to pray for one another.
Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. It's discerned by the Spirit. It's explained by the Spirit. It's brought forth. The anointing is what, you know, the word of God, if it's just read without the anointing, it doesn't mean anything. But it's the anointing of the minister that's preaching the word of God that brings the word of God to where you can understand it through that anointing. The 133rd Psalm said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, even Aaron's head that ran down the beard that went down to the skirts of the garment. How many knows the spiritual part, that anointing covered him? If we're a minister, we all need to be covered with the anointing, and then our ministry is covering someone else in the church
or this covering the weak ones in the church. The anointing. It's anointing. I go to churches anymore. I hardly ever see any. I see a lot of folks, but they're not anointed. They get up and talk a sermon out, but it's not anointed. They get up and sing some songs, but they're not anointed. They get up and testify, but it's not anointed. Well, not anointed. And it seems like they don't want anything to do with you if you're anointed. I went to a church here a few years ago, and the preacher, I used to know him, but I didn't know him anymore because he had changed and went another direction. And he told me, he said, "Now, when you preach, I want you to preach 30 minutes. 30 minutes. And he said, "Then I don't want you to hand it to somebody else. I want you to hand it to me." When I got done preaching 30 minutes, I turned it to him. And the church was ready for everybody to hit the altar. They were just sitting there. The anointing had just stirred them and stirred them. And he said, "Now let's all arise and be dismissed." What a tragedy happened at that church that morning. People were ready to receive healing. They were ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were ready to receive the Word. They had received the Word. They were ready for the power of God to fall, and He dismisses them. What a shame. But you see, I wasn't the pastor there. So I always preached that I'll work under the pastor when I'm in his church. I'm not going to go and do something else because that's not right either. But I haven't been back since, and that's been several years ago. But it was in the process of this New Age movement coming in and the powerful movement of the Pentecostal and the Holy Ghost movement going out. And folks, if I know anything, it's time for us to reach out and grab what's getting away and bring it back. If we don't, we're going to see congregations, younger people coming up that's never seen a move of God. That's never seen the power of God move. That's never seen when the power of God was moving, somebody jump up and run to the altar with tears coming down their face. That's never seen somebody slayed in the power and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's never seen these things. They'll never see this. And it's all because that in the slow time, or a time when we see this here thing caught the Pentecostal movement of the church, which is a lot of different movements or Pentecostal movements, have been in times past, and some of them still are. But it caught them just right when it was through one of them dry spots in the churches, when it was between the latter rain revival and the revival in the 60s and the revival in the 70s. They were caught just right when the power of God and the anointing had kind of shuffled away from the church, and nobody was praying to get it back, and they came in with this. They're going to teach you something. They're going to change your songs. No more of this here old shouty songs. We're going to change your song. And the next thing, we're going to change your Bibles. And so they changed the Bibles. And now they're saying, we're going to change the way of worship. If you're going to prophesy or speak in tongues, you got to first go up here and ask the one that's leading the service if it's all right if he thinks you should. Well, what about God? And if you're going to speak in tongues, we're going to usher you down in the basement because we don't have that in our auditorium. You know, I believe they kicked God out of the auditorium. I believe they took God out of the move of the Spirit in the church. I believe they took God out of the move of in the song. I believe they took Him out. I'll always believe that. But what I think that we need to get to doing, no matter how we feel, we need to come to the place that we go to church. And no matter how we feel, we ought to pray. And no matter if we feel dead, discouraged, up or down, we need to always talk to God and give Him a check. And I'll tell you a good way to win a soul. If you're talking to somebody that says, "Well, I'd go to church, but I just don't have time and this and that and something or other," the good thing to tell them is, do you think that you should give God as much time to see if He can satisfy this emptiness in your heart? Don't you think you ought to give God the same amount of time that you give the devil? At least. That's something I've thought of so many times. They'll give the devil all the time he wants. But when it comes to God, I've had churches where they sit there like this. And if you went 5 minutes after 12 on Sunday morning there, you know what that means. If you don't hurry up and quit, I'm going to leave. Well, go on so the Spirit can move. Get out. Come on. We've sat and petted people. and let them get away with this thing. And they've destroyed the spirit of the move of God in the church and all these kind of things just because they feel better. The reason that they feel comfortable in this, most of these New Age churches is this, is because they feel comfortable because there's nothing there that convicts them. But God, in a spirit move, convicts them. Josh got up and went to the altar the last time. He felt something. He didn't just get up and go down there just to be done. He felt something. There was a drawing. And no man can come to God except the Spirit drawing. There's no way that you can come to God except the Spirit drawing. You've done the right thing. I missed it one time. I sat in the church, tears are streaming down my face, and he's pulling, trying to get me to go to the altar, and I didn't go. But I spent 3 years, and God never visited me. I said, the next time I feel that there, I'm going to do something about it. The next time I felt it was one morning. I was staying in an apartment building in St. Louis by myself. And one morning, I got up, getting ready to go to work, and that visitation came. I got down right there on the floor and gave my heart to God. I throwed my beer cans away. I throwed my whiskey away. I throwed my cigarettes away. I cleaned house that morning, and I've kept an open ear. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We've got to have this ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. We hear what everybody's got to say. We need to hear what the Spirit has to say. Is anybody here tonight that needs prayer? Maybe you sing a song. Anybody here needs God? I don't know. Might need prayer. Might be sick. We believe in praying for people for all their ailments and everything like that. Praying for people that needs to get saved.